Like you to open your Bibles again at Matthew 27. So we have been looking over these past Lord's days. We have been thinking about the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw the teaching of it in the virgin birth. How Christ was born of a virgin, a sinless life. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Then we looked at his sufferings spiritually last Lord's Day. Now we come to not only his spiritual sufferings which continued, but we will be looking at his physical suffering. He has suffered from all eternity because, as the scripture says, he knew he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now as we continue on in this great teaching, something that we all must take in, not just at Easter time, which usually this message is only preached. I believe in preaching this message all the time. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's the text at the bottom of our meeting house. We must preach Christ crucified. This is important. And we will be looking at his death. We see his start of his physical suffering. We see it in verse 26. Then they released Barabbas unto them. That's what the people wanted. They didn't want Christ. They wanted Barabbas. The first physical suffering of Christ was when he was scourged by Pilate. We don't have any scripture to say that he was ever suffered physically in his life. We had times in which people came to try to kill him, but he was able to go out of the road without any problems. But now he was coming to do his Father's will, which was to go to the cross and to die for a sacrifice for sin. His back was scourged. He was whipped. Nobody would like to be whipped. Remember, he was both God and man. He would have felt the pain and the suffering of those whiplashes. And after he was scourged, what did they do to strip him? Oh, that would have been a terrible thing for to be stripped in front of other people. And then they put a scarlet robe upon him. Not only did a scarlet robe, but there was those who had plotted a crown of thorns. And they put it on his head. I remember one time I was working in the Whitfield College. I was taking down a large bush that was full of thorns, big thorns. And as I cut it, one of the branches fell and hit me in the forehead. I can take pain, but that was sore. And I just thought of Christ. And that crown of thorns, what pain it was going into this beautiful crown. Then they give them a ring and put it in his hand. Why did he do that? Why did they put a scarlet robe upon him? Why did they put a crown of thorns upon his head? Why did they give him a reed in his hands? Because he said he was king of the Jews. And that's why he was accused. And the reason was so that they could mock him, laugh at him, scorn him, they spit it upon him, and then they smote him with the reed. See, all those things that a king would have had, but it was just done for mockery. Why our Saviour suffered, not just spiritually, his own soul, his own spirit, but he suffered physically. And after mocking him, they took all those clothes off him, and they put back on his own clothes again, and they led him away to be crucified. Led our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the cross. And as they led him, they came, he carried his cross until he could carry it no longer. And then they saw this man, Simon the Cyrenian. He must have been a real big looking man, strong looking. They picked him out and they compelled him to carry the cross for the Lord Jesus. That's the work that he had to do. Carry the cross. There was no getting away from it. He was compelled to do so. And as he carried the cross for Christ, he came to a place called Golgotha, which means a place of a skull. We know as Calvary. And how they gave him vinegar mixed with gall. We all know that saying, if you get something and it's very bitter, you would always say it's bitter as gall. It could have been no harder to take anything. And how he refused it. Once he tasted it, he refused to drink it. And there they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. There on the altar, as you see him, and they put the cross down on the ground. There's no other way they could have kneeled and do it. And just see that wooden cross, and they took our Saviour, God's only begotten Son, and they laid him upon it. We see the crown of thorns still in his head. We see his soldier coming with a hammer and the nails. And the nails our Saviour to the cross. Nails in his hands and his feet. What pain and what suffering the Lord Jesus Christ did bear. For sins. Do we ever think of the nails that pierced him? And there they took the cross. The order had a hole in the ground. And they put the cross right in the socket. Now as the weight of Christ's body went on the nails, on his feet. What pressure. What pain. Christ went to the cross in Calvary willingly to die for us. To suffer for us. What a Savior we have. Do we praise Him enough? And there He is on the cross, hanging up above the ground. Just like there was a picture, the children of Israel with a two stick, and there was a brass serpent put up. It was lifted up above the ground. For those who wanted to be healed had to look and to live. Here our Savior was lifted up above the ground to die for us. Then we see in verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. They had a sign put then on top of his head. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And who were the people that watched them there? Who were they? They were the soldiers. They were looking after things, making things were done. There was the centurions who were giving the orders. The chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees. And the passers-by. Those who had just come to see what was going on. Just to see the crucifixion. You wonder why people love to watch things like that. Why people love to watch violence. Right down through history, and people would have watched and loved to see hangings. And even for us today, most of our films, most of our television are based on violence. Because that's why what the people want. They love to see violence. Because of sin. What's in the people's heart? Don't want to see peace. And there they watched them. Two thieves, one on the right and one on the left, crucified along with him. Then also we see the acquaintances of Christ, his followers, his loved ones, they were there. Mary, the mother of James, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. His beloved disciple was there. Salome was there. The women from Galilee were there. And all the rest would have been there somewhere. But they were differently, while the other people mocked and laughed and scorned. They were weeping. They were mourning. Because the one who has been with them for the last 3 years was now about to die. What was going to happen to their lives? The reaction of the crowd, what was it? Oh, it was bitterness. Come down from the cross and save thyself. Even the two thieves, yes, the two thieves said, come down and save thyself and us. They were thinking of themselves. But what was it that kept the Savior on that cross? Or was it the nails? Our Savior could have called 10,000 angels and brought him down. Oh, but he didn't. Satan would have loved him to come down from the cross. That would have been something that he would have wanted. To be able to say, I can't go through with it. But Christ, he knew what was going to happen. He knew he had to go to the cross and willing to go through with it was love. A captain there. Love for the lost price and souls of men and women. Love for his church. That's what I've done. Love for you and me. And for the Christian. It was love for us. He knew what he had to do. And for those, maybe someone here and are maybe not saved, or maybe listening in, he died for you as well, so as you might be saved. But you must come and repent of your sin. Forsake your sin and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Then let's have a look at the cross. There he is, hanging on it. We're going to look at the seven last sayings of Christ on the cross. We hear people using it for a type of worship, but it's not to be used as a type of worship. It is to be used for our edification and for our praise, because it was a finished work in Calvary. And that's why we look at these seven sayings with praise and thanksgiving in our heart. The first one, he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23 and 24. He still had a love for the lost. He had a burden for them. Then we see in the second saying of the cross, Jesus said unto him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, what did the Savior mean by this? One of the thieves on the cross, as he listened to all that was going on, he realized that he was a lost sinner. He realized he was going to lost eternity. He saw that the Lord Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God. And he cried out, Lord, remember me. We'll be looking at that a wee bit closer later on. And this is what Christ said. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. No purgatory there. No soul sleep. The body would have been taken down off the cross and soul would have went to heaven. How wonderful that is. Then we see the third saying on the cross. There standing was his mother and his beloved disciple. And he says, behold thy son. He is thinking of his mother. I know that sons think a lot of their mother. I thought that of my mother. And sons always do. And probably daughters as well. Because I've never had any girls in my family, in my life. So I know nothing about girls. Until lately, in which they've had my mother three sons, and they've had three sons. We've had five grandsons. And just before it came, we had our first three granddaughter. But the love I know as the love of a son for the mother is something special. And I've seen that in my life. The same with Christ, the love for his mother was something special. And he says to her mother, behold thy son. And to his beloved disciple, he says, behold thy mother. And from that self same hour that the loved disciple took the mother of Christ into his own home. Then we come to the sixth hour. And to me, this has always been a very emotional time when I think of the sufferings of Christ. Very emotional. When the sixth hour was come, the Bible tells us there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Here it was, whenever God the Father turned his back on his own Son. He had to do it for the sacrifice for sin. There was no other way. The Lord Jesus Christ knew of this suffering. And what suffering he did, both spiritually within his own spirit, and physically, the pain in the nails, in his hands, and his feet. There he was, those dark 3 hours before Satan. Before Satan. See, Satan was free to do what he wanted. As you know, I don't like adding on to scripture, because there was darkness over the whole land. Nobody could see. And I'm not going to add to it. I've imagined things what happened. One thing I know, that Satan gave us all for Christ to come down from the cross. It was 3 hours suffering. Just couldn't describe it. I just couldn't give words to describe those 3 hours. Well, I know it was for you and I. For sinners. Then we have the fourth thing. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the reason why he had forsaken me, bring you back to when we spoke about whenever God promised Satan in the Garden of Eden, our Savior, that he would bruise his heel. And that the Savior bruised his head. Satan was about to be defeated. His head was about to be bruised. You can imagine how much effort he put into those 3 hours. And then we have the fifth saying, I thirst. Man, brother, a reed, got a sponge with vinegar and hyssop in it, and he received it and drank it upon his lips. He had already given all. There's nothing more really to give. Then we had the sixth saying on the cross, it is finished. No more sacrifice for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ had paid it all. There was no more going back to the old ways of the Old Testament. As you brought an animal, a bird, a pigeon, and you brought it to the high priest, and he would go into the holiest of all and offer it as a sin sacrifice. That was all finished now. That the only way to heaven and to God was through the finished work of Christ. It is a finish. And then the seventh saying, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The spirit was about to go unto the Father. Body would soon go to the grave. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. Our Savior died on that cruel cross. What pain he deserved, what pain he suffered. for you and I. Do we praise him and thank him for it? It tells us in Corinthians, we must remember the death of Christ. When we take communion, we take the bread which reminds us of the body that was broken. We take drink the wine which reminds us of the blood that was shed. There is just remembrance of it. Do we remember the Lord even within our own hearts, within our own prayers, within our own thanksgiving? We should do every day. We should remember him every day. And then we see the events immediately following. We had the earthquake and the rending up of the veil. That big veil was so heavy, and the high was rent. What a noise it made. What a noise the earthquake made. The opening up of the graves. This was a great miracle of God. We cannot understand it. Man couldn't do it. It was a miracle. And they saw, the saints, they knew. They didn't ever say they were speaking to them. But they appeared unto them and saw them. Confession of the centurion. Truly this is the Son of God. Conviction of the multitude. Smote their breasts. And they returned to their own homes. Christ died on that cross. He died for you and for me. I just close by just reading a couple of verses from John 19. And it tells us the Jews, when Jesus therefore had received the finisher, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was on high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced the side, and forthwith came out of blood and water. Christ was dead. Soldiers knew he was dead. And when they broke the legs of the two thieves, ready to break Christ's leg, but they didn't, because he was dead already. Prophecy was being fulfilled. And then that spear that pierced the side, that flowed blood and water. Christ was dead. But we will be looking at it next week. We'll see how he was buried. And we'll see how he was raised up again from the dead. We know that our Savior is not dead. I can't believe he's going out here this morning thinking that our Savior is dead. But he rose again, and he's in the Father's right hand. He is alive. And he gives us the victory over the world. He has made a way that we can come to him in prayer. We can pray to him. And he leads us and he guides us. What a wonderful Savior. And let us continue to praise him and remember his death from Calvary. I wish for you, Christian friend, and if any is not saved, it's for you too, but you must come to Christ as a sinner. Do pray that this would be a blessing to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name.